From KCRW in Santa Monica, this is The Treatment.
Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. You can also hear the show at KCRW.com. The films my guest, director Edward Zwick, Glory, Courage Under Fire, The Siege and Blood Diamond, deal with social conscience. But I think they're films that are really about responsibility to oneself and to one's community. And his new film, Defiance, really is proof of that. Ed, first of all, thanks so much for coming back.
Well, thanks for having me.
And I do think that the films really are all about responsibility. In a number of films, such as this film and Glory, you kind of use the past as a way to deal with the kind of responsibility that still falls upon all of us to really bear up under, don't you?
Mm-hmm. I guess the key is to try to vest that in a character, you know, to place someone in a moment either of transition or of some dilemma, and so that it's a drama of character as much as it's a drama of issues. But when those things are as stark as they are, I think it can provide for both drama and for some social commentary.
Well, we should do the bare bones thing we like to do here on the show and have you talk about the movie in terms of plot just a moment.
All right. It tells the story of three brothers in Belarus in 1941 who are somewhat accustomed to being on the periphery of society and maybe have had trouble with the authorities before, the Russian authorities. And when the Germans invade, their instinct is to take care of themselves and hide and to go into the woods. And they do. And what happens is that gradually word of their presence in the woods is heard by others, those in the ghetto, those who are in hiding themselves. And reluctantly, even against their will, they begin to take on the responsibility of other people. And they have to make this very interesting set of choices between seeking revenge for those who have died or else extending themselves to save others. And over time, these very reluctant heroes discover something in themselves, something fine, something even magnificent, and end up creating this society in the woods, which they lead, which ultimately saves 1,200 people at the end of 3 years when they walk out of the forest.
So many of the films, though, that you've done are about men in some weird way. They almost bring to mind kind of Howard Hawks to me, about men proving themselves through action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, certainly he was, you know, one of the masters of that. I think John Ford did that too. You know, the thing about movies is that behavior is often best served when it's revealed through action and narrative strength. And I think when you find a situation that's very extreme, as many of those that I've dramatized, it's an opportunity to strip away some of the niceties of socialized behavior and decorous behavior and really get more elemental in asking certain questions about what a man is and how he relates to the world around him and who he chooses to be when put to some test.
But also for a number of those men, there are people who are fairly comfortable in order as they do or kind of establish themselves and are shaken out of that comfort zone.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, it's interesting. You ask yourself a question, is that the dramatist's impulse? Or is that something that has some political context to it? I'm hoping that each serves the other. The idea that in one's complacency is a first act that then can be rocked and someone is sort of set spinning and set adrift so as to discover something else, you know, heretofore undiscovered within oneself. And that becomes the drama and the conflict.
It's The Treatment. My guest is director Edward Zwick. His new film is Defiance. In this film, because it's about these brothers who basically are outcasts and outlaws, but so many of the films have dealt with people who live outside society anyway in a number of ways. And that level of confidence in their abilities to make their way in the world almost is that thing of taking somebody very late in the story and just sort of saying, this is what he has to do next. And I wonder if that's the way you end up talking to these actors, because you've also tested a number of these movie stars you've worked with, from Denzel Washington, with whom you worked a number of times, to DiCaprio, with whom you got a great performance from in Blood Diamond, and now Daniel Craig in this. I wonder if that becomes a way you can talk about the movies with these actors.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, certainly I know that they want to be talked to as actors and not as movie stars. They really want to investigate those deeper elements of character that were the basis of their own training and their ambition in the first place. I know with Daniel, he was very, very intent on finding what was tentative and what was unprepared in his character, certainly in the first act, and very generously, I think, understood that the way to accomplish that was to build up Liev's character and, in fact, to have him seem to be the much more logical hero, if you will, or the person upon whom others would rely, so as to give his character, Daniel's character, more room to travel. And I think he understood that for someone to impose themselves upon a situation and take the responsibility is an enormous leap, and take on this role of determining, you know, who might live and who might die. And I think he really wanted to give himself somewhere to go. And I think that was very interesting juxtaposed to, say, the James Bond character whom he might have just left, who seems to be, you know, in somewhat, you know, very clearly in control of events. I think that was part of how he approached it. And I think with DiCaprio and with Daniel as well, there's an opportunity to take advantage of who someone actually might be in this moment of their life and to find those issues that are personal and be able to explore them within the context of a character.
And by Liev, you mean Liev Schreiber, who plays his brother.
Yeah. Who really, you know, I think shines in this and who owns his size in this extraordinary way, having seen his performances on Broadway so often and feeling as if this was an opportunity to show, you know, movie audiences what so many of us had seen in the theater.
Yeah, because you don't really get a sense of his size when you see him in movies. He's often played characters who are in their own ways kind of diminutive.
Mm-hmm. And cerebral and considered. And I think this is a much more visceral performance. I think he finds it in the language. I think he really spent time learning Russian, and he has an extraordinary ear for languages, and language is, of course, important to the Shakespeare that he does. And I think he found in that language and the directness and in the masculinity of that language something that opened this character to flower.
And I think, too, what he must have been drawn to, since we're talking about actors, people who are, I think of themselves as actors as much as movie stars, for him, he must have been attracted to the sheer complexity of it because there's so much going on from act to act in Defiance.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about Daniel, to go back to him for a second, is, you know, this is a man who for 20 years was an ensemble actor before he suddenly became a movie star. And I think for him to go into this movie was intuitively where he feels most comfortable, and his generosity allowing others to step forward is pretty extraordinary. That it's what allows the ensemble to form, because the group in this movie, those who are there, the supporting players, and even just the group in the expression of its will and its whole, they are an important character unto itself, as important even as is Daniel Craig or Liev or Jamie Bell, any of the principals. He seems to allow that to happen. By being willing to step back and let certain things happen in front of him in ways that you evoked Howard Hawks, in ways that sometimes you see John Wayne doing in movies when he's maybe back and allowing these things to take place and he's observing them in some way.
As we talk about this, though, Ed, I guess I find myself thinking that that's what really appeals to actors, because so much, I mean, when you're talking about theater and the kind of experience that Liev has had, or Daniel when he was in ensembles, so much of that for those guys was really, they really were playing characters who lived through the mind rather than through the body. And these guys are really basically, they're pirates of the woods. They're pillagers, and they have to find a way to turn these skills they've developed into building a community, taking what's antisocial and making something social of it.
That's exactly right. For the character that Liev plays, he seems to harbor a kind of a wound, whether that's the wound of anti-Semitism or prejudice or what he's dealt with, even as the younger brother. And for him, the violence is at least initially liberating. I think it's a means of expression for him that frees him.
It's The Treatment. My guest is director Edward Zwick, whose new film is Defiance. You can also hear the show at kcrw.com. In each of the films, we can chart this over the years. We even talked about this a bit last time when you were here. action has become more and more a part of the way character is delineated for you.
Yeah, I guess it may be some reaction to the more nuanced, you know, behavioral observation we've done in some of the TV shows. But I also think that something about the movie form is so it works so well when it's how to say this, when things are acted out, when they're not as nuanced, but rather they're very, very stark, and that behavior is very strong conflictually, and I've been drawn increasingly to less words, to shorter screenplays, to looking at some of the movies of the past and seeing how just strong narrative is what movies seem to like best, or at least what I seem to like best in them.
And yet, given that kind of pared down aspect of the films in terms of the dialogue, there's still that sense of responsibility is still key to all these characters that you brought to the screen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I hope that's not contradictory. I mean, I think it renders
no, but it sounds like an interesting paradox to draw out. It sounds like a real problem, and I wonder if solving those problems as a filmmaker is what's led you to trying to make the films a bit more Spartan in terms of the speaking mm-hmm. parts and more about this expression through physical being.
Mm. I hope that they're not irreconcilable. I think that finally what I've come to believe about movies is that they exist finally in a few very strong salient images, a few iconic images. If you think of Glory, those black men in those Union blue uniforms, that's a paradoxical image unto itself. I think similarly in Defiance, the idea that Jews, men and women, these immigrant types, these refugees rather, are fighting and fighting back. There's something incongruent in that has implicit in the image some tension.
It's almost as if you're treating, if we're talking about film versus television, that you're taking epic stories. You're saying that it's the size
uh-huh.
of the experience that you want to convey. And you look at TV and film as ways to do both of those things.
Mm-hmm. And I think also there's a certain kind of tradition that these films partake of. And it goes a long way back. It goes back into an oral tradition in which characters are sort of pitted against some huge issue or some context that seems larger than they are, and rather than being diminished by that, you find what ennobles them when they respond to it. And I know that's always drawn me to movies, and the TV tradition that I find myself feels more wedded to things that I've loved in the theater, not as much to TV, if you will. It's been things that are more wrought and where in words and in very sort of complex situations, the ambivalences of life are revealed. It's very equivocated, and I think there's something much more stark in the choices that I've chosen to try to dramatize in the movies.
We'll take a break. My guess is that Edward Zwicka's new film is Defiance. It's The Treatment. More to come.
You're listening to The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell from the studios of KCRW Santa Monica.
Welcome back. It's The Treatment. My guest is director Edward Zwick. His new film is Defiance. You can also hear this show at kcrw.com. There's a kind of, I don't want to say diminution in television, but certainly if you want to make it, if you're dealing more with the interior life, and I think the first acts have become shorter. Mm-hmm. There's less of a kind of a breakdown of what's happening here and more of an impulse to throw audiences into that rather than having people have it explained to them.
I think that's completely true. I think I found even when I started to cut Glory and I had shot two reels of exposition of young Robert Gould Shaw training at Brook Farm in the abolitionist community and training in the military and his friendship with the Andre Brower character and, you know, listening to Frederick Douglass. And I found not only was the story waiting to get started, but rather that in that face of Matthew Broderick, in that battlefield of Antietam, you knew all you needed to know. And I think it's a lesson that filmmakers have learned historically. I know the story of Frank Capra doing Lost Horizons and talking about all those characters in their prior lives before they get on that airplane and cutting all that to them entering the plane and knowing that that exposition can be picked up on the fly. There's so much that a good actor can give you, and that close-up, that thing that is, you know, 70 feet across and 30 feet high, where you can know all that you need to know and not have to, you know, impatiently be waiting for something to begin, but rather to be sort of in media res, to be carried along by the thrust of narrative and pick it up as you go. And I think that there's an energy to that. And I think in this particular movie, I wanted there to be some dislocation that mirrored the dislocation that those characters might have felt as suddenly the deluge was put upon them as an invasion suddenly caught them up as bombs began to fall and as people began to be rounded up. And I wanted the audience, to experience that very subjectively and even as if to be able to then ask yourself, well, what would I do? How might I have reacted? Would I have been frozen? Would I have submitted? Would I have run? I tried to create a feeling that then I could sustain right into the movie and throw you into that situation.
Well, that gets to that question for me, that question of dramatizing and bringing audiences into the film versus your responsibility to the facts, because this is a true story.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's obviously something that I think a lot about. You know, for better or for worse, increasingly film is becoming that permanent record, and I do feel that there's an obligation to honor those whose lives we're describing. But finally, in any bit of research, what's inevitable is that you come up with contradictory accounts or spare accounts that necessitates a kind of psychological filling in and serving the other obligatories, which are that of shape and form and drama. And you're constantly on a razor's edge, I think. Finally, the only test is when you have the occasion to show that film to those who were there or who know it much better than you. And I have had that occasion very recently. We had a showing in New York last week where we brought 19 of the survivors who had been there in the woods. They're pushing 80 now, and they came with their families and children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, 900 in all of whom had survived because they had survived. And what was most extraordinary was how they then stood up afterwards to bear witness to the fact that they felt their story had never been told, would never be told, and now their children could know it, and they felt well served.
When you've got a film about this, a story that's about a community, and you're trying to deal with the gender roles,
mm-hmm.
because there's a kind of thing that happens in that situation anyway when you cut loose from society, and you make that point clear here in the film, but also I wonder how much you felt you had to modernize it just so audiences would connect to what it was they were seeing rather than being thrown out of a period film.
Well, I don't know. I mean, what was interesting about the gender roles were changing there, and many of these women were women who were sophisticated from the city who ended up finding men who were of a very different background and forming these alliances. They'd all lost partners, and some of it was of love and some was of convenience. But see, to me, the title Defiance really means that refusal to give up the life force. And that includes sexuality, and it includes love, it includes family and community, and I think, and even humor. And it was important for me to try to talk about men and women and the division between the secular and the religious and class issues so as to not present this group as a monolith. And gender issues were part of it, but only one part of it, because I tried to create some mosaic or some, you know, much less homogenous depiction of who these people were. They were individuals, and they created a little society, and that society has antagonism within it, and it's not all about a kind of, you know, great virtuous paradigm. And they were Jews, after all, and you have two Jews in any room, and you have at least, you know, three opinions and at least one argument.
By the way, there's my guest, Edward Zwick, who said that. He's the director of the new film, Defiance. It's the treatment. I'm not Ed Zwick. I'm Elvis Mitchell. Just want to make that clear for our listeners who will be writing to you. It seems like so much of this, and I wonder how much you found in this and doing the research, was about these people basically stripping away everything that they thought they wanted to be and becoming what they were. You know, that kind of – it's almost – too simple a metaphor, but the elemental thing of being in a forest being taken away from all of civilization.
Well, you know, in literature, the forest has always been that place of transformation, whether it's the Brothers Grimm or Midsummer Night's Dream. You know, the forest is where the lover or the outlaw or the madman go to be away and reinvent themselves, or at least to find safety. And in this case, the forest became their salvation. And it was a place in which not only did these men change and become leaders, but they were humanized. They found in themselves a certain compassion, a certain capacity to extend themselves and understand values beyond just those of violence and self-preservation. So it was a very, very significant place. And in the film, we really try to feel that forest. I mean, Eduardo Serra's work is to feel that very, very specific sense of the forest as a character.
How did you end up finding the place to shoot?
We looked on Google Earth.
Did you really?
Yeah, really. I mean, you know, we thought about Romania and we were looking at Budapest and Prague, but the truth is that Dan Weil, my production designer, looked on Google Earth and saw how proximate and how dense these forests were and how close they were to the city of Vilnius. And of course, once you go there, you discover that you're only really 100 kilometers from where the actual incidents took place. And there's no substitute for real time and real scale. And what it gave us, not to mention the faces of the people and what they looked like, but on that ground, that sort of hallowed ground where 300,000 Jews had been killed in Lithuania, we couldn't help but feel the ghosts and feel the presence of, you know, those others who had hid in those forests, not necessarily our heroes, but others, because there were, in fact, were so many stories of partisans who hid in the woods throughout Eastern Europe. In fact, the way that the Jews survived was because of the natural landscape. In an urban setting, you couldn't hide. But every place that there were woods, whether that was Bialystok in Poland or the Ukraine or the Yugoslavian mountains, they were able to hide. And we felt that. I think there, with those rivers and those swamps and the cold and that oppressive, dark, dark forest, I think it gave something to all of us, and particularly to the actors, that they were able to really take advantage of.
Were you shocked at the extent to which you found that legacy in that forest did come to inhabit what you were doing with the project?
Yeah, I think that one of the smartest things I did inadvertently, we put the trailers pretty far away. And everybody stayed there. And Daniel is the kind of actor who doesn't run to his trailer. And in fact, by the end, I might have even, you know, let it go and save some money without telling him. But everybody, but everybody was there all the time. And the creation of an ensemble mirrored the creation of a community. And I think these things are ineffable, but I think they have an effect as people bond, as the Lithuanian actors and the Russian actors meet the English actors and the American actors, and little things are created. And more than that, the opportunity when you're trying to load a Schmeisser and your hands are numb or your feet are numb, you're trying to dig a trench, and I think that gives itself a sense recall to, you know, a flavor of something to an actor who then doesn't have to think as much about Stanislavski as he does about the task at hand. And there's no better service to an actor you can give than to have that sort of default reality.
Which, of course, ends up speaking to what we were doing, talking about at the outset, which is getting the actors to invest physically, because you can get them to offer that kind of concentration. It's about performing a task. Then you really do have to become that person to make it playwright.
Well, that's right. I think you've managed to bring it full circle, and that's right, because we constantly talked about What does it take? You know, we've all been camping. What does it take to actually survive? How much do you have to dig? How much time getting food? How much time creating fire? How much time, you know, what is the business of living? And we filled every moment with that, with great, you know, consideration about having that felt in each scene.
It's the treatment, I guess, as director Edward Zwick, his new film is Defiance. So I guess what this comes down to is the fact that you were kind of on more of a budget than you'd ever been before. Ended up working out to your advantage, didn't it?
I think it concentrated us. It concentrated the script. It made us really focus on those things that were so specific and so particular to these lives. And I've always felt that you do find your way toward the epic through the specific. We were able to invest very deeply in each moment and in each scene. And I think the fact that it might resonate to larger theme is one of the legacies of really trying to economize in that way. The other way had to do with becoming entrepreneurial. It had to do with having Daniel and Liev and the cast and all of us invest in the movie, which is to say, take less. If it didn't succeed, we would have had the pleasure of doing something we believed in and that privilege of combining work with meaning. We all knew why we were there, I guess I would say, but it was enormously gratifying to be out on our own, to be totally independent. We financed the movie out of Europe. We had X amount of dollars and not one penny more, and it was up to us to decide what movie we make exactly the way we wanted to make it.
And was it once you got there that the movie's real scale dictated itself to you?
You always overreach, first in the script phase and then in the prep phase. You have all sorts of grand plans, and inevitably, as you discover the reality of how long it takes to accomplish something and where you are, you're inevitably paring away. I think it's good to begin with some bolder and grander ambition, because what you're then forced to do is choose only what you need and only that which is, you know, fundamental and essential.
But you still, in having to choose those things, make those compromises, you don't want to surrender that kind of grand vision that drew you to it in the first place. Is that right?
No, but you hope that that's strong and true, that there's something intrinsically solid in those intentions and that they're never lost. But that's true in any movie, because you enter the maelstrom of production and, you know, you've had this thought and then everything is deconstructed to its discrete parts and it's all spread out and shot out of order and done in bits and pieces. And you pray when you put it back together that it has the same integrity with which it began. I would say, though, that this gave a certain discipline and austerity to the process that's not always there.
Well, we're out of time, Ed. Thanks again so much for coming on and talking about the film.
Well, it's my pleasure and love being here.
My guest is Edward Zwick. His new film as director is Defiance. Our recording engineer at KCRW in Santa Monica is Mario Diaz, with assistance from Lasha Vorchek at Carnegie Recording Studios. Bob Carlson is the editor. Gemma Dempsey is the producer. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment.
An audio archive of this and other programs can be found at kcrw.com. For questions and comments about The Treatment, please email us at thetreatment@kcrw.com. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.